into law. Breaking news, President Trump signs Russian sanctions into law.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. There's a lot going on. You've got a situation with the president signing the new Russia sanction bill with a statement that's coming as well. I've got the statement. We'll go over that in a moment. You also have the situation with North Korea. And in North Korea, with their latest launch of a missile, went within miles of a civilian airway route. That is very much an act of provocation and very, very serious. And I think that we have to be cognizant of the fact that this is an act of exactly that, an act of provocation, and can cause... look, I mean, can you imagine this scenario, that a civilian aircraft is in the area and that missile hits it? And what's Pyongyang going to say then? I mean, what is Kim Jong-un going to say then? What's the government officials in North Korea going to say at that point? As a provocation, like considered an act of war. So this is a very serious situation. And then we have the whole Russia sanctions issue, which we'll get into. But all of this is breaking right now.
Yeah, that's right. And in the sanctions statement from the president, he mentions that today he signed into law the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act. This also enacts new sanctions, by the way, on Iran, North Korea, and includes Russia. He says that he favors tough measures to punish and deter bad behavior by the rogue regimes in Tehran and Pyongyang. But I think what's most interesting about this statement is in the fourth paragraph. Still, the bill remains, talking about the sanctions, seriously flawed, particularly because it encroaches on the executive branch's authority to negotiate. Congress could not even negotiate a health care bill after 7 years of talking. By limiting the executive's flexibility, this bill makes it harder for the U.S. to strike good deals for the American people and will drive China, Russia, and North Korea much closer together. The framers of our Constitution put foreign affairs in the hands of the president. This bill will prove the wisdom of that choice. So he still says he's doing it for national unity, does not want it to become – because Congress probably would have – if he did veto this, probably would have overridden the veto, which they have the power to do. But I think that it goes to that bigger point of that, again, the president saying, see here, this is whenever Congress is able to get together like this, you question it because they're not able to get together enough votes on the things that they actually promised the American people, like health care. So I think that the fact that the signing statement includes a ding really at Republicans is very significant because the president is seeing them as a failed leaders. He's calling them out right away, and I hope that that gets attention.
I also want to draw attention to the fact that the president's statement that says the framers of our Constitution put foreign affairs in the hands of the president is constitutionally correct. I mean, that is the way the Constitution is structured. That's the way the Constitutional Republic is structured. So those statements in and of themselves are correct. Then you've got the situation with North Korea going on. Now, look, they are taking real acts of provocation here. So we have a situation both on an international front with Russia. You've got domestic issues going on right now as well, and then you had the failed healthcare attempt. So all of this is on the plate of the president of the United States. So there's a lot to deal with. We're going to take phone calls and comments on all of this regarding North Korea, regarding Russia, regarding the sanctions issue. When we come back from the break, Logan's going to let you know how you can engage in all of these conversations.
That's right. You give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Lines just opened up, so they're available right now. 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us online, broadcasting on Facebook, Periscope, and at ACLJ on Twitter, at Jay Sekulow on Twitter. And you can find us all there. But you can give us a call again, 1-800-684-3110, facebook.com/JaySekulow, where you can see us broadcasting live there. You get a little bit of a different experience over on social media.
Well, and I'll take it a step further there, too, folks. We want to hear from you on this issue. We want to hear from you on now. There proposes big changes to legal immigration. We want to get some analysis on that. So we need some, as that's breaking right now, we'll have analysis on that. We just filed some more cases I mentioned the other day at the Supreme Court of the United States. Don't forget the ACLJ Matching Challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Very important, though, that the president put in a signing statement on the sanctions. The framers of our Constitution put foreign affairs in the hands of the president. This bill proves the wisdom of that choice. In other words, this is a bipartisan bill. The bill as it was put forward.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, a new bill that the president signed on Russia sanctions, not just Russia, by the way, includes North Korea and Iran. And there is a signing statement that traditionally goes with these. This signing statement included a statement from the president that said, "The framers of our Constitution put foreign affairs in the hands of the president. This bill will prove the wisdom of that." In other words, the president did not like that this was coming through at this particular time, felt like it was a challenge to his authority. So you have that right there. Let's go ahead also, and I think this is important. We've got a lot of calls coming in on this already. Yep. At 800-684-3110. People are concerned about all these issues. We'll be joined with our military analyst a little bit later in the broadcast as well.
That's right. We do have also a fake news comment that came out of Bloomberg Politics.
Okay, go ahead.
We get to that now. So
sure.
This is from Bloomberg Politics on Twitter. I think we have it on the screen. We can put it up. So this is about, obviously, the signing statement that is coming later today, for the Russian sanctions. It says, "More Trump is including a so-called signing statement with the Russia sanctions bill laying out his concerns."
So-called.
So-called. So
it's actually called a signing statement.
Yeah, it's just what it's called. So yeah, I don't know. Like, these are the digs that are, like, not even, there's no we vindic there. It's just, he calls it that. Everyone calls it that. Sorry. So
it's called a signing statement.
It's not, like, he didn't invent it. So it's an interesting thing.
Why did they just
thing
not,
where they just,
it's
they
called
just
a
do
signing statement. Presidents issue signing statements with lots of bills.
Well, clearly Bloomberg has never heard of these.
Evidently not.
No.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Or the 12-year-old running their Twitter account. All right. Let's go to Gail, who's calling in Connecticut on line one.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is this. Do we need another enemy pointing missiles at us? Now you're going to write for sanctions against Russia. Why? Why do we need this? Thermonuclear war. I don't think healthcare is going to cover vaporization.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I don't question that Russia is in a situation where they are being very aggressive. We were talking about this during the break. They've been very aggressive in the Middle East, and their neighbors, the vice president was just there, their neighbors are very nervous about the aggression of the Russians because just the sheer size of the Russian military.
Yes, but all sanctions are not the same. So this is political sanctions. This is a few individuals, a few banks. So the problem with that is that these are not what we call the crippling sanctions. Crippling sanctions were what we had on Iran because the entire world had those sanctions. Remember, the U.S. even unilaterally could put forward real sanctions. These are what I like to call political sanctions. Political sanctions are done so that members of Congress can feel tough, sometimes in line, by the way, with the executive branch. Sometimes it's done on purpose to send a signal politically that we've got you on our radar. We're going to start punishing some of your people, punishing some of your businesses. This is not crippling Russia. This is not crippling Iran. This is not crippling North Korea. And I think that's one of the issues here is that these sanctions, if you're going to use sanctions, then either really sanction a country to the point where they're on their knees begging to get economic relief, or let the executive branch do its job with foreign policy. This is a playing in the middle. And what you hear in this statement is the concern that you're just pushing these people to be more aggressive because you're not really taking any of their capabilities away. You're not undercutting them enough. You know, if you really want to sanction Iran or sanction Russia, you've got to undercut their gas systems. You've got to undercut their way of getting energy. That's how you sanction. You don't go halfway with these sanctions on a few individuals and a bank or two and a couple of entities. That is not going to stop Russian aggression from Estonia. It's just not.
I know. All right, let's go ahead and you want to take another call?
Yep, let's do it. Let's go to Mike in Houston, okay. Texas. We'll get to that. Mike in Houston, Texas on line four. You're on the air. We'll deal with that during the break.
All right. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, sir. Hey, good morning. Hey. I was just asking. I wanted to find out. It seems in the new sanctions bill that was presented for the president to sign, wasn't there a power grab of taking the permission or the power of the president away to change the sanctions? It seemed like that was a Democratic power grab of taking more power from the executive branch.
Here's what we've got. Let me tell you what the president said. So I think it's important to read this portion of the signing statement. He said, "Today I sign into law the Countering America Adversaries Through Sanctions Act, which enacts new sanctions on Iran, North Korea, and Russia. I favor tough measures to punish and deter bad behavior by the rogue regimes in Tehran and Pyongyang. I also support making clear that America will not tolerate interference in our democratic process and that we will side with our allies and friends against Russian subversion and destabilization. That is why since taking office, I've enacted tough sanction legislation on Iran and North Korea and shored up existing sanctions on Iran." But then the president raises the concern that, in fact, what is happening is and this is what the president raises, that his actions that he wants to take that are part of the Constitution are not, in fact, being allowed to move forward. In other words, what he wants to do here is take some serious action, and that's not happening. We're having a little studio issue.
Let's get some
here.
Comments here. This is from Serena. She says, "Why are people fearing Russia? What are they currently doing?"
Well, look, Russia's been aggressive in the region. I don't think sanctions are the wrong move, but the problem is that the way in which it's being done. But this passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The president wants sanctions, but again, he said the framers of the Constitution put foreign affairs in the hands of the president. This bill will prove the wisdom of that choice. Can we go ahead and take a phone call? What do you think with this technical issue we're having? We probably should discuss.
Let me see if I can grab a comment. That'll probably be safer bet for right now. This is from Scott. Said, "Do those sanctions with Russia dissolve the claims of any kind of collusion or anything like that?"
I don't. And one has nothing. First of all, I mean, on the collusion thing, as I've said from the beginning, I see there's no evidence of Russian collusion. This has nothing to do.
That's what he's saying. Is that kind of just?
No. I mean, this is ones involving allegations regarding the election season. This is what's going on by the Russians right now. I mean, there's the Russian aggression in the region is the problem here. I mean, and how you handle that aggression, Jordan, is what you're really dealing with.
Yeah, that's right. You know that there's aggression. Vice President Pence is talking about it. He's making speeches about it. The media is barely covering that. The media does not really want to focus in on what the vice president is doing. On the sanctions issue, I mean, I wouldn't read too much into that because the president himself, though he signed these into law again as an act of national unity because the Congress could have overridden his veto. I mean, that's the bottom line truth is that there was that much political support for these. He went ahead and did it, though he disagrees. So he's not even saying he agrees necessarily with what these sanctions are going to accomplish what they politicians act like they will do. I think that's where he's saying. He's not saying I wouldn't sanction any of these places. He's saying these sanctions do not accomplish what these politicians. So it's again, there's political sanctions. Sometimes you use those, but then there's diplomatic. There's the real sanctions. This, I think, falls under the political sanctions. It's not going to stop Vladimir Putin from doing anything.
Right.
All right.
It was more political than anything.
Yeah, it's just Congress reacting.
All right. You want to try to grab a call?
Well, yeah, turn your speakers back on if we're going to have a call. So turn your speaker back on. We'll take a call.
We'll try to do this.
Yep. Let's go to Storm, who's calling in Fort Gordon, South Carolina, online too.
Hi, Storm.
Hey. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to comment, you know, about the I've done a little bit. I'm a college student. I always find the whole the government of North Korea to be very, very interesting. I've studied it a bit extensively, not very extensively, but you know, we have to do something about this missile crisis going on. North Korea.
There's no question that this is not a stable regime. You had a missile that went within miles of a civilian airspace area. You can imagine, without any difficulty imagining this, that if there was a civilian aircraft in there and one of these missiles was 2 miles off and struck a civilian aircraft, you would start a major military conflict in that region. And, you know, and what are the North Koreans going to say? They're going to say, well, it wasn't intentional, but it just went off course. I mean, I don't want, obviously, nobody wants to see this happen. But this is, and we're going to talk to our military experts about this, but this is the problem with the way they're behaving, and they're not a rational actor.
No, they are not. In a sense of another, if you have a bad acting country, intentionally bad acting, and they do this, they get a little nervous about their own systems. They may pull back and say, okay, wait, you know, we like to make these threats, but we don't want to actually go so far as to maybe bring down a civilian aircraft and then bring, you know, World War III upon ourselves. That's not how the North Koreans think. So I don't, even though to most countries this would probably get them to back off from whatever testing they're doing and realizing they don't have enough control over that,
yep.
To them, they may be intentionally doing it. I mean, that the truth is they may be intentionally taking these kind of behaviors, which is what is so dangerous overall to the world. I think that this is one topic. I think the caller's right, that the world is the United States and the American people are going to have to rapidly get up to speed on the North Korean threat and what it means to all of us.
Yep,
because it's becoming more of a direct threat to the United States than it is just to our allies, you know, across the Pacific.
Yeah, so I think that the reality is the world is a dangerous place. We're going to talk about how dangerous it is with our military analysts after the break. So we want to encourage you to stay engaged. We've got one phone line open. So you can give us a call at 800-684-3110. We'll certainly take comments and those kind of things on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right, and you can break. Sorry about that. You can take a break. During the break, if you're watching online, you are going to check out a few new things you're going to see. Sorry, little of chaos here today. It's all right. Sometimes it makes it a little more fun to be live. You know we're live now, so you know we're not lying to you. Coming up in a break, though, we have a clip from the Jay Sekulow Band. We're going to do that while we try.
Why not?
To fix the audio issues.
Hopefully
that are happening.
On measure and beat.
And yeah, that's what it is. That's just the metronome making that noise.
That's what it is.
It's ready for you to go play. All right. Again, give us a call. We do have a line open, 1-800-684-3110. And check us out online on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we'll take your calls on a variety of topics. We're talking about the situation with North Korea, the Sanctions Act that was passed, with a statement from the president where he said, "The framers of our Constitution put foreign affairs in the hands of the president. This bill proves the wisdom of that choice." He signed it, but he thought that he didn't like the context of the way it was coming down. He thought it was bootstrapping his ability to negotiate with these various entities. Let's do this. We want to take phone calls at 800-684-3110. A lot of people are calling about North Korea and this bill, and we're also, of course, concerned about North Korea's latest missile launch, which was within miles of a flight path that would have had civilians. I mean, this is a very dangerous act of provocation from the North Koreans. So let's go ahead and take some calls on that.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to, well, there's a lot of comments coming in. Let's go to William, though, calling in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, on line 3. If you do want to get on the air, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Hey, William, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, actually, this is just kind of like what you were talking about and the coattails of the last caller. It's just how far will North Korea have to go before the United States decides to take military action?
You know, we'll talk to our military analysts about that in the next half hour of the broadcast. The concern that they've raised, both Skip Ash and Wes Smith, both served in North Korea, in Korea on the DMZ. These are military affairs people of a lot of experience in this, both colonels. The problem is, and as they've talked about this before, is an action of provocation that would result in a response will result in, I mean, the casualty count in a city the size of Seoul, South Korea, could be in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, small artillery, which is all aimed at Seoul from North Korea, so that not really advanced weaponry. You don't need it because it's right there. I mean, it's miles away. You have a major population center, one of the major population centers in the world. So you have probably 30 million plus people within short range artillery. They'd have to be ready to go. The idea of like a complete surprise attack would be very difficult, because I think you'd have to prepare the South Korean people. They'd either evacuate or to take measures. I think that they probably have some of those. They probably have more bunkers and systems like we kind of did back in the day. And they've always been ready for this potential threat. But we're going to get a lot of pushback from the Japanese, from the South Koreans, from the Chinese and the Russians, not to strike. So this would, unfortunately, I mean, not maybe unilateral, because North Korea does pose a major threat, but I don't think the U.S. is going to initially get a lot of support from our usual allies, because they're more worried about the immediate effects this has on them, not the long-term effect of a North Korean nuclear missile.
So I think what you've got here is a situation, I think we just have to be clear on this, that this is these are acts of provocation. This is dangerous for the United States. It is dangerous for our allies. And then you've got Russia on the prowl. And all of this is not good for the region, and it's not good for world stability. So as Logan said, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. The second half hour of the broadcast, we're joined by our military affairs analyst to discuss this. Really important that we discuss this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll talk about this issue. We'll talk about they're trying to get some tax reform issues now done. We're also going to talk about why the president issued the signing statement that he did. And we'll give you some of the constitutional history and all of that. So, again, our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another. We got a comment, Logan?
Yeah, comment. It's about North Korea. Okay. Michelle asked about a question about North Korea. So what are the chances North Korea will attack the U.S.? So what are their capabilities?
Well, I mean, we talked about this last week on the broadcast. Their ICBMs at the right trajectory could hit the mainland in the United States, not just Hawaii. So this is a real threat. I mean, this is a serious threat. They've got we will defeat them militarily, but you're on the precipice of a major military engagement, and now you got the Russians acting like they're backing up the North Koreans with all of this.
Yes, and so this is the concern, is that, again, you would have any kind of military action. It's not so much can you defeat the North Koreans. It's the North Korean, what they can do to our allies in the region. Partners, I'd say, like a China, who's like, I wouldn't necessarily call a military ally at all, but a partner economically. I mean, the North Koreans could open up on everyone. Or, conversely, they may focus their firepower on South Korea and U.S. Forces, but the humanitarian crises that would develop amongst along the borders that North Korea has with Russia and with China could be massive. That is why, if you see the imagery on those borders, the Chinese and the Russians have got tanks, not because of North Korean military aggression, but because of the humanitarian flow of people that may take place if that regime were to fall. We're talking about millions of people fleeing North Korea into those territories, into the countries of China and Russia. And of course, that these are not two countries. Let's be quite honest. The North Koreans, the Chinese and the Russians, who deal well with humanitarian crises. I mean, they're not like, no. That's not like really in their mind frame of, you know, setting up refugee camps and spending their own resources, not on themselves, but on other people who may be hurting. That is not, they don't really specialize in that.
I mean, we should show the map, the lit map of South Korea versus North Korea, and you could see the level of oppression for the people there. But remember, they view their political leaders as a form of deity. I mean, so this is a whole different mindset, which is even, it's a step up from the Iranians' view of the Ayatollahs in real life time. I mean, they view these leaders as deity, as God. Let's go ahead and take another call here before the break. And that, or do you think we should hold on longer?
Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, thank you very much.
Sure.
Jay, I have two issues. The two issues that you've covered today that I don't think you've gone into enough depth on. One was the one about the sanctions and the bill that he saw, which he said was unconstitutional. The other issue is your lack of depth on North Korea's electromagnetic pulse option, one bomb over the central part of the United States.
Okay. Here's the thing. First of all, let's talk about depth for a moment here. Number one. We've been very clear about the threat of North Korea and their military capabilities. They can't beat the United States, by the way, electromagnetic or not. They're not beating the United States of America.
And a lot of that is conspiratorial. There's been more research done on electromagnetic weaponry, but so far the real threat from North Korea that would actually be proven
conventional
would be
ICBMs with a nuclear weapon.
An ICBM with a nuclear weapon and not your sci-fi books.
Yeah. So I think that's all we have to say there. Regarding the constitutionality of the bill, the president signed it. He's not saying it's by signing it. You can't take this to the Supreme Court to challenge it. I mean, that would not work because the president did sign. He signed it with a signing statement, which is not unusual in the annals of presidential history.
Problem, not necessarily.
He just says it raises a problem, right?
Raises issues of the executive branch's constitutional power. That's again, these are political, what we call political questions. And that resolve between Congress and the executive branch. If he didn't want to sign it, he didn't have to. Then you would get into the potentially the veto situation, or where he has pocket vetoed. There's other scenarios. We don't need to discuss them because they didn't happen. He signed them. These sanctions are going into law.
I mean, let me add one thing here. This is unrelated to this, but this is significant because it's not getting attention that it deserves. The president had his fifth judge confirmed. One was to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. This outpaces both President Obama and President Bush during their first 6 months. So we've had a Supreme Court nominee confirmed and a fifth judge for the Court of Appeals. That is outpacing both of his predecessors. So when people say nothing's happening, judges are being confirmed. There are things happening. The health care bill, obviously, all of us are disappointed with the way that's gone. Now they're talking about this bipartisan approach to health care, only because the Democrats are recognizing they got to get it fixed. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged.
Yep, that's right. If you don't get the next half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, or you want a different experience, you can find us broadcasting online. Get to look at us yourselves. You get to see what we actually look like. If you've always wondered. You can find that at facebook.com/JaySekulow or find us on Twitter or ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Yeah. provocation by the North Koreans. We're going to get in that with our senior military folks in just a moment, but that is a big issue. This comes on the heels when you've got a weapon that was flown into within 2 miles of civilian airspace. If there was a civilian aircraft there hit by this North Korean test missile launch and civilians were killed in a civilian aircraft, you are talking about the provocation of a war that would be very, very significant. At the same time, well, the president signed the sanction Countering America's Adversary Through Sanctions Act. He did this with a signing statement that said the framers of our Constitution put foreign affairs in the hands of the president. This bill will prove the wisdom of that choice. He's concerned that this bootstraps his ability to cut the deals necessary on foreign policy and foreign affairs. So he signed it with that statement. Those statements are oftentimes put in place, so that's not unusual. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed up right now. They'll free up in a moment, but let's go ahead and take a call.
Let's go to Debbie in North Carolina. You're on the online three.
All right. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Good.
I just wanted you to explain a little bit more about what you said about the president being bootstrapped with not being able to deal with them. Why is it that they might be able to veto that if he didn't sign it?
Well, no. They would have
they had the votes there
to override his veto. Go ahead.
Yeah, he can veto, but there was such bipartisan support if you took
what
the votes
for it. What was it, 98 to 2?
The veto would be overridden. And so Congress has that power to override the president's veto. It's not often they're able to do it because of the requirements. But here, in this case, they would have. All this really is a reinforcement of the Obama sanctions on Russia. And that's what the president's saying. It's really a bootstrap because this is what the previous administration decided to do. Now, everyone was very critical of how they dealt with Russia, the Obama administration. They let Russia go into the Ukraine. They let Russia annex Crimea. They let Russia flex their muscles and get involved in the Middle East once again. And so this was the Obama administration response. That's why you have not just the present President Trump saying that he opposes much of what these sanctions do, because it's the Obama era stuff. That's all this is.
Right.
It's also Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. He also has come out strongly against these sanctions and believes that it is going to harm this new administration's efforts to change the structure of what was happening in the relationships with Russia. And also, they're talking about other countries as well, Iran, Syria. I mean, all of that comes into play here.
There, by the way, the ICBM, this is correct, the ICBM launched by North Korea with the right trajectory could actually reach Chicago or even New York City. So this is these acts that the North Koreans are doing are serious acts of provocation. But the bill on sanctions, by the way, also adds that Russia's defense intelligence sectors, these sanctions that are aimed there, make it more difficult for those countries to export their weapons. And the part of what's happening is you've got this reaction group or with these countries, and you have this right now. And this is, I think this is significant. You've got these countries that, like Russia now, saying they're backing the North Koreans. We were hoping the president was trying to put pressure on the Chinese to get something done there. That did not happen. So do you want to take one more call, Logan? Do you think we have time, or do you want to hold it for the break?
I'll do it quick. Let's go to Carol in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Carol.
Yes, my question is this. Are the sanctions the same on North Korea and Russia, or are there different sanctions on each country?
They are tiered towards the country, so because each country presents a difficult or different challenge. So when you have sanction bills put in place, you have to very much tailor it to the situation you have.
Yeah, that's right. So you have to again, these sanctions mostly go through the Treasury Department, and that's because they are financial. That's what a sanction is. They're financial measures that prevent a flow of sales of specific, whether it's weapons. And sometimes it's not just weapons. Sometimes it's all support to a country.
Yep.
So in North Korea's case, it's much more severe than in Russia's case. But in response, what have we seen? Well, I mean, North Korea is launching ICBMs and testing those. Russia is expelling 500 out of our, 1,200 plus diplomats. Not exactly the same kind of response. So you see kind of how little meat there are to these sanctions.
Yep.
And why I think why the president opposes them. Because it just causes more bad blood. And the real truth is, if Russia was so upset, their response would be a lot tougher than 500 people must be expelled by September.
All right, we'll take more calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Joined by our military analyst in just a moment. Back with more.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Are we back? I guess we're back.
Yeah,
hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. It's the day of technical difficulties.
It is. Sometimes.
Sometimes you have that. We were doing
one. We should just run a
What'd
tape.
What'd you say?
If you're on Facebook, are you hearing me right now?
All right, so we're
just
taking
a flash of light. I think our studio just went out.
It did. It looks like the we have a power outage.
Are we on? We're not on.
It feels like we've had a power outage.
We're not on supplemental power.
It's like a mental power outage. It's what's happening right now.
Okay, that's very good. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. We got our senior military analyst Wes Smith here, and our senior lawyer, senior counsel in charge of national security. What?
It was electromagnetic.
It was electromagnetic, like the last caller from the North Koreans. Not happy with our broadcast. No, I don't think they're watching this in North Korea.
I think it was from the caller. He had the tech.
Okay.
He can send it our way.
All right, and Skip Ash we have as well, correct?
I don't think he's that far off.
All right,
hey,
so
whatever.
Skip, let's go over this North Korea situation. So they throw up one of their missile tests and get within miles of civilian airspace. If they were to hit, first of all, that's an act of provocation. But if they were to hit a civilian aircraft, you'd be looking at a serious military conflict.
Well, we'd be looking at a serious situation. I'm not sure it would result in a military conflict at this point, because we've had other similar things where civilian aircraft have been shot down by various countries. But the issue is, we need to understand that the North Koreans want to be provocative. Their whole purpose is to be provocative, because that's worked in the past. Every president they've confronted has folded his cards and given them what they wanted. And as he's raising the ante, every time he raises this, if he can get weapons that actually could strike the United States, imagine in his mind he would be in the driver's seat and he'd get everything he wanted.
Yeah, well, this is part of the problem when you're dealing with an irrational actor. And both, by the way, both Wes and Skip have served in Korea on the peninsula. So, Wes, I got your briefing this morning. This is a serious. I mean, these are serious situations. I mean, I know the White House is concerned about it. Congress is concerned about it. I mean, people are concerned about this.
Yeah. Whenever you have someone like Kim Jong-un who is provocative, there is a substantial risk that he will provoke a reaction from the West and particularly from the United States. And in addition to the ICBMs that he's been testing recently and the one that was fired, it not only was 10 minutes, you know, difference in flight time from a civilian airliner that was literally flying to Japan. It landed within Japan's territorial waters as far as they're fishing. They have a lot of boats out there. But in addition to that, U.S. military intelligence has now released a report that last month, North Korea was engaged in highly unusual submarine activity. And three times in the month of July, they practiced firing a ballistic missile from a North Korean submarine. It's the fourth ballistic missile test from a submarine this year.
Wow. All right, let's go ahead. We got calls coming in on this at 800-684-3110. By the way, in the last segment of our broadcast, our friend Kelly Shackelford is going to be joining us, and that will be a discussion on some of the key cases, actually a couple involving the military. So we'll want to talk about that. All right, let's take a call.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go to Jamie, who's calling in Oklahoma online, too. You're on the air.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Okay, get ready, guys. I'm ready. North Korea leader is clearly provoking the U.S. What do you think his ultimate goal or end result he's trying to gain, yet
by
I
doing
heard
it?
West say he wants to get whatever he wants, but what is it he really wants?
Well, that's a good question. Let me start with Jordan on that, then we'll talk about militarily. I mean, because this is, remember again, I said this earlier, the North Koreans view them as the leaders as a deity, which is, you know, it's a little bit far to get for us to get our hands ahead around that.
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah, I think that's the tough part is to this idea of what do they want is, you think in the logical terms, in the sense of like, do you want more power? Do you want more territory? I think all they really want, I mean, ultimately, is if they have a nuclear weapon, and you're already kind of this country that everyone is afraid of. And it's true. Everyone is afraid of them, even though it's a country of only 20 million, it's very poor. Everyone, even including their special forces, look like they don't even get fed. So imagine the normal people. Of course, the leader is obviously getting fed fine. And what do they want, though? I think they want to be that evil superpower in the world. You can't quite be you're a little bit too easy to make fun of and kind of mock until you really have the ICBM that can be delivered with a nuclear weapon. Once you have that, notice, you know, you don't see the same mocking of Pakistan. You don't see right. The same mocking of India. You don't see the same mocking of Russia or China. The reason why is because they actually have nuclear weapons. And so once you have nuclear weapons, you enter into a different level in the world.
Yep.
And so that is actually as rational as I can go for them, for the North Koreans, is that it puts you on the top level of threat to the world.
Let me play what the president said about this issue of North Korea just yesterday.
Thank you. We'll handle North Korea. We're going to be able to handle them. It will be handled. We handle everything. Thank you very much.
So then, Skip, it begs the question, which, and I'm going to go to Skip and Wes on this. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110 as well. And that is, how do you handle it? If you're advising the president, what would you say?
Well, I think in one sense he's handling it perfectly, and that is he's not tipping his hand too early. At the same time, I'm sure that there are extensive plans. Have always been extensive plans, but those plans are under refinement right now. There's a new naval threat, as we've talked about the submarines. There's a new missile threat. And now we have increased interest on the part of allies over there, such as Japan and South Korea, that they really want to make sure that they have some type of assets available to meet whatever comes their way. So in that sense, it's raising awareness and raising the willingness of the Japanese primarily to take action in their own defense. And what that will do, that will freak out the Chinese at some point, and that may bring the Chinese to our side.
So the plan is there to have the Chinese ultimately, they may not want to do it right now, but may get them on our side because we'll be disruptive to their region of the world. Wes, what do you think?
I don't think China is going to play ball on this unless we, perhaps as the president has mentioned this week, maybe put some trade sanctions on China to force them, because of our financial sanctions, to come to the table and help us with North Korea. They have no incentive to help us with North Korea. They are the ones who are sharing missile technology with North Korea. They're their chief trading partner. They're their only diplomatic ally. And so China and Russia, because Kim Jong-un is a thorn in our side, they are perfectly willing to let this rock along. China does not want a unified Korean peninsula.
Yep.
And they do not want a democracy on their southern border. Yep. So I think the hopes for China doing something are misplaced. On the other hand, Jay, the sanctions bill that you mentioned earlier that the president signed, it hits North Korea much harder than Russia and Iran. It takes entities that even deal with North Korea at arm's length and puts severe sanctions. For example, a Panamanian freighter that's taking materials back and forth to North Korea is subject to sanctions.
Yeah.
Banks that indirectly deal with North Korea, subject to sanctions.
A lot of it is financially, sanctions are financially based.
Yeah, that's what sanctions are about. It's to punish the regime. Sometimes it's to punish to cause so much instability in the economic markets there. They're not able to provide. Now, in North Korea's case, the difficult part is that they don't take very good care of their people anyways. So
I want to show
you
that.
Really have to what you have to do is punish economically, figure out how to start punishing the regime. And the key, you know, out of the 22 million people, the key 100,000 people that the regime takes good care of, you got to be able to punish them. And that's how you have to get more creative, like you said, yes, with the sanctions.
The nations that are helping North Korea have to be punished.
Yeah. So for our Facebook and Periscope audience, there's the map. So where you see the lights, that's South Korea. This is what's on in their countries. In North Korea, where you barely see a flicker, that is North Korea. So this is, you understand that what the people are going through under these regimes. All right, let's go ahead and grab a call here, Logan, if we can.
Yep, let's do it. Let's go to Adrian, who's calling in Los Angeles. You're on the air.
Hi, Adrian. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Yep.
I'm calling. I have a question. Why, in regards to the whole Obamacare issue, why doesn't Trump put Congress on Obamacare? And if we're forced to take it,
yeah,
and they represent us, shouldn't they be under the
same
rules?
Well, this was the great. I'll defer this to Jordan because this was the great discussion we had when I was in Washington D.C. yesterday. When I was on radio with you.
Yeah, I mean the idea here, again, there is this ability with the way that the subsidies are provided on to Congress that right now Congress technically does abide by. This was an addition to the law in 2013, Senator Chuck Grassley put this forward. Congress has to buy off the exchange. Now, they get to shop off, congressional members and their staff get to shop off the small business exchange in Washington, D.C., but they still get their government coverage subsidies, if you will. They cover about 75% of all their health care costs. So they are not buying it the same way that the average person is, who is never getting, I mean, if you're getting up to 75% of your health care subsidized, you'd be on Medicaid. You would not be buying through the exchange. So the idea is that you can take that away and they can still buy health care off the exchange, but they wouldn't be able to afford it, including a lot of members of Congress,
yep,
because they're doing it for their whole family. But certainly they're very low paid staff.
Okay.
So that's one way. The second is you can implode the whole system by not subsidizing the insurance companies.
And that would do it. All right, really quick. West, 10 seconds. North Korea, something we're watching very closely. Dangerous situation.
Very dangerous.
Okay. And Skip, your assessment, really quick, 10 seconds.
Very, very dangerous.
All right. So, folks, this is when everybody's talking about a lot of other things, we're talking about some things that will affect everybody, including the region. All right, we're going to be back with our friend Kelly Shackelford in just a moment from First Liberty. We're going to talk about some of the religious liberty cases that are now going to the courts around the country. We'll also take some phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. Stay with us. Don't forget the matching challenge for the ACLJ. We'll be back with a lot more in just about 2 minutes. We'll be back with more.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're joined in the studio with a good friend of ours. It's always good to have guests come in, and Kelly Shacker's really no guest. He's been a friend. He's been on this broadcast a lot. He is the president and chairman of FirstLiberty.org. They recently, if you don't know Kelly, you do know him. They changed their organization's name about a year and a half ago, right?
Yep.
About a year and a half ago.
From Liberty to First Liberty.
He said there were just so many liberties out there to First Liberty. There's never enough liberty, in my view, but that's just me. So we're talking about, we've been talking about cases. We just had our military guys on. Mm-hmm. They do FirstLiberty.org is the website. And if you want to check them out on Facebook, we encourage you to do that. All you do is go to Facebook.com/FirstLiberty, and you should support their work. They do great work, so we encourage you to donate and support the work of First Liberty. We just had our military guys on talking about North Korea, but you have been for a long time, Kelly, representing military members that are in difficult situations. We've had a few of those cases. You've had a lot of those cases. Yeah. You've represented also the American, a couple of the big organizations that we've done over the years.
A lot of chaplains, a lot of different situations.
But let's talk about some of the cases you got right now on the military front. We'll talk to some others in a moment.
Well, all we do is religious liberty. And I mean, 5 years ago, I didn't even think we would have a military division. We had to open a whole division because of what we saw happening. And I know there's a few that I know you've probably mentioned that probably the most watched and hottest right now of all the military cases we have. One is the Oscar Rodriguez case. Oscar Rodriguez was a 33-year veteran who, I don't know if you've seen the flag folding ceremonies,
but
very powerful. He has a speech that he gives that's incredibly patriotic, very moving, and a lot of people ask him to do it. And so a guy was retiring from the Air Force and said, "Oscar, would you do that at my private retirement ceremony?" Oscar said, "Absolutely. I'd be honored to do that." Oscar gets up, and the thing is, of course, you're video recording a retirement. So we got all the evidence on video. Yeah. He gets up to give the flag while the flag is being unfolded. Yep. And the head of that base didn't want him to mention God, and he was going to mention God. And so he sent in uniformed military, all this is on camera, to physically grab and accost this veteran who was in a private retirement ceremony, and they threw him out of the room.
You know, you hear this, and you say to yourself, how could this possibly be true? This borders on the absurd.
Yeah, and then they go and fight this in court.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is they fight back
incredible.
In court. They don't say, we are so sorry, and censure the commander of that base, and, you know, move along. No, they have to fight this out.
So what branch?
Air Force.
Who's been particularly difficult, right?
We have. We've had more cases there than any of the other branches, it seems like, in the last 5 years.
You know, we've handled military cases, but as people know, we had Sergeant Martland's case where he was being disciplined for activities that took place in Iraq where he broke up a horrible situation where children on the base were being abused. He came in, and then they were going after him to basically not let him re-up. We were able to work with Congressman Duncan Hunter on that. So it's kind of a different level. You're hitting the religious liberty issue. But on that one, there's a perfect example of like Jordan just said, it's the nature of the absurd. It's a private ceremony, a retirement ceremony. You've got in that ceremony, he's exercising pure speech. So what's the status of that case?
Well, they opened an investigation. They announced DOD announced their open investigation.
Department of Defense.
And now they've refused to give us any of the information.
Of course.
So now we're having to go with a Freedom of Information action just to get the information.
So what are they accusing, or what are they trying to do? What's their end game here? I mean, what action are they trying to take against in a retirement ceremony because the guy mentioned God?
I think they're just, it's a cover-up at this point. I mean, when you think about it, Jay and Jordan, these weren't even MPs. They didn't have authority to grab anybody. They weren't the police.
Right.
Okay. They violated the Fourth Amendment. They violated the First Amendment.
Yep.
I mean, they are in serious trouble, and yet they're still fighting. And we've got to get this decided so that this doesn't happen again. And we make clear that religion's not some new, boogeyman
like
where you can go and
in the
do
ceiling
this.
Tiles. Like if you touch it, it's hazardous to your health.
That's.
I mean, it's. I mean, you look at this, and it's. it does border on the absurd, except like Jordan said, you got to litigate this stuff.
We do.
Now, and do you see it changing at all? I mean, is there, you're making progress. I know you've won a lot of these cases. So
we've won all the military cases except for one so far. And that was, of course, the Monifa Sterling case, who was court-martialed for having a scripture verse on her desk. Really a tragedy.
Yeah. And the Court of Appeals affirmed that, right?
And the military court affirmed it, and the Supreme Court wouldn't take it.
At the Ninth Circuit.
That's the only one. All the others you've won, I would say the ship was moving heavily in the other direction. Because really, none of us were involved. We didn't realize this was going on in the military.
Until a couple years
ago. And after win, after win, after win, you know, the Chaplain Motter case, the and I could go down a long list of these. I really do feel like things are turning. I feel like when these groups speak out against the military and they used to run, now these, you know, like Mikey Weinstein, these people that are invalid
Jordan's
what they're
favorite.
Saying. I'm finding they're not being intimidated anymore because we're providing information
counter.
About what
the, we do. Yeah.
Here's what the DOD regulations really say.
Yeah,
here's
we
what
do
the
a lot
law
of that.
Really
yes.
says.
But you know, Mikey Weinstein, I've had him on the broadcast before from the, what is it, Freedom From Religion Foundation?
Something.
Military Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yes,
the
yes.
Whatever it is.
Military.
Religious.
Religious freedom. He calls himself that. He calls him a Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Yeah.
Which, in fact, means no religion is the only way to have that freedom there. But he again, takes such an extreme approach. But what we were shocked with, Kelly, was that the military was taking this guy seriously.
They were.
I mean, yes, he's a veteran. And no one's taking away from his service. But if we allow, I mean, the military is large. I think all the military members would agree. If you allowed everybody you served with to suddenly assert that just because they served, they're right, you'd have a real mess, and yet they took like everything he said at face value, even though the commentary he would make would be profane and outrageous to the just average person, not even average religious person, to the average person out there. They would be put off by his tone, his messaging, and almost the hate the way he writes, the anger that's there.
He's trying to change our country. I mean, George Washington started with religious freedom in the military from the very beginning. He understood that if you don't have religious freedom in your military is going to suffer because people need to rely upon their faith. I mean, these are people giving everything for us. The last thing you want to do is take away the very freedom they need to serve at 100%. And so winning this back is really important. I mean, our newest case is Colonel Madrid. This is a guy who there was a guy underneath him who was gay and was court-martialed for a number of reasons. Yep. Part of his defense was to attack this colonel because he was Christian. He said, well, that's part of it is because his Christianity. Yeah. Well, they investigated. They said, there's no
nothing
basis
there.
For this. 2 years later, a new leader, commander, comes in.
Reopens the case.
He doesn't look at any evidence. He just decides, I disagree with that. And all of a sudden, this guy's career's over.
Yeah. And these can be career-ending moves, folks. So that's why when Kelly's fighting on these issues, this is really serious stuff. You know, we don't hear about it as much as we should, and I'm glad Kelly was in town today to come by our media center here. But the fact is, these are real cases. They're really happening. And I want to say this again as we close the broadcast out today. Kelly's group does great. We work with them for a lot. We've worked in cases at the Supreme Court. We've worked in cases in Texas. We've worked in cases all over the country together. They do great work. FirstLiberty.org. That's firstliberty.org. Go to their website, check it out. They've got a Facebook page as well, First Liberty on Facebook. And we encourage you to support their work. It's tax deductible like it is the ACLJ. They do great work. They've got a great team. We've worked with their lawyers, and we encourage you to continue to do that. And Kelly, we thank you for coming in on today.
Great to be with you.
Good to be with you. It was good seeing you again. So, all right, folks, lots happening. We're going to get to more of this tomorrow because there's more unfolding news as we speak. And if there's any updates, of course, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, various social media platforms. Jordan will get information out via Twitter, of course, since anything breaks as well.
Yeah, at ACLJ.org. If you missed any parts of the show today, that'll all be cataloged for you. It's at Facebook and Periscope. And on the website, ACLJ.org. It's on our app as well, the ACLJ app through iTunes. It's available on iTunes and Android devices. Check it out. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online,